your government is already running on AI. It just isn't the AI that they told you about. And I'm joined by Nicholas Babin here, and we're going to kick this idea around so you get some real insights into what governments are actually using AI for. Nice of you to join me, Nicholas. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Nat. That's always a pleasure. Always. It's been for 10 years now and continues to be a pleasure.
It has. And it's important that we sort of remind people what on earth is going on with AI, because we're at a point now, it's incremental what it can actually do. You know, if you've been sort of put your head down for a few weeks and you look up and it's insane what's actually been going on. But when you get a language model like Claude that comes along and says, well, hold on a minute, we can't release this Mythos model because actually it's too dangerous and it's going to hack every single frigging piece of code in the world and find these vulnerabilities, it opens up a whole conversation of, hold on a minute, surely the governments are going to be using this model to fix the holes in these places so that actually it can function safely before the next one comes out and then hacks the daylights out of everything. And it's scary. I know you're on a new journey right now. You're working with the government in your local city, and that's really exciting. So what do you think? What's going on? What's exciting you at the moment? Yeah.
So just before we start, just want to make sure that when we talk about AI, you and I means like all the different models. You know, a lot of people today talk about AI and actually they only mean LLMs, as you mentioned, large language models. But with the government and what I see as I'm a local level as deputy mayor of my town, it's not only LLMs that we use, because on top of it now, you see more small language models being used because they're more focused, they're more, but also, you know, when you talk about finance, for example, and the Department of Finance at the government level or at the local level, you know that AI has been used. And here there are different type of models than LLMs. For example, models that can tell when people is gaming the system, model that can tell when there's a discrepancy between what you need to pay and what actually the government thinks you need to pay, discrepancies with your work, discrepancies with what you declare. So that's just on the finance side, but also people, again, as I mentioned, gaming the system. For example, they claim that they have 6 kids, but when you put all the data together, you actually realize that they live in an apartment for 4. So then you know that especially in socialist countries around Europe that are paid for the number of kids they have, then you know that you've been paying, that the government has been paying too much. So just on the finance side, they definitely use LLMs because it helps them write letters. It helps them understand, create content that basically would take, you know, days, hours or days, and it can be done in seconds or minutes. But here we're really definitely talking about different type of models. So that I just gave an example about finance, but we see today, and that's not at local level, but at government level, defense sector is using AI everywhere for better intelligence, for more secure help in cybersecurity, for example. You know, it's AI has been used, and we're not talking about LLMs here. We're talking about very, very sophisticated models that can help with attacks coming from different countries. We can help with being better prepared from those attacks, or also predict attacks and actually build systems that are much more secure based on what AI could tell you. This could happen, you know, in the next week, month, year. And so then you're better prepared. So on defense as well, you know, everything around drones, everything around even weapons, everything around defense itself is AI, the use of AI is just enormous. I mean, it's something that that's beyond anybody's imagination.
Yeah.
Then we can think about healthcare.
Before we get on to that, I'd like to just stop and talk a little bit about, there was this in Latvia, they found this apartment, I think it was, that was full of basically some sort of SIM card holders. And they were running, I believe it was like 50,000 SIM cards or something, 40,000 SIM cards. And they had registered about 200 and something, was it 200 and something million different accounts on and they were basically scamming people. They were doing every single scam. I don't know if you heard about it. I talked about it. Right. And so in order for them to detect this, they must have used AI to detect this.
Of course.
And the social media platforms, we don't actually know what they're doing to prevent these things.
That's true.
I don't think they're doing enough. But also we don't know what they're actually doing because they can't really talk about it because they don't really want people to know that they've got so many holes in their systems. But the fraud is real. It's brutal. It hits lonely people. It hits weak people, old people, people who can be manipulated easily. And whilst AI creates more of that, because it creates more and more phishing emails and things like this, it also creates the solution.
That's
but
exactly
education is a massive part of that solution, in my opinion.
That's all about cybersecurity, as I mentioned. It creates a problem and it finds a solution. The biggest challenge is how fast can you be compared to the problem? Like, how fast is a solution to resolve the problem, right? Because the problem goes much faster because we don't know what these people know and we don't know how they think, but we know we can react much faster now. And I was going to go back to healthcare. It's exactly the same. Look at COVID. It's the first time in history of the world that in less than a year, we managed to get a vaccine. Vaccine was created by AI. Why? Because the way it used to work is you would go and say, okay, this is the issue with the virus. But then people will need to think and calculate manually before all the different potential issues coming from this virus. Whereas with AI, the calculation was much faster. Therefore, we had results much quicker. Therefore, we thought about the vaccine in less than a year. Unheard of in human history. Unheard of. So we had a problem. We found the solution thanks to AI. And again, you know, a very sophisticated type of AI, that model of AI. So
we're just jumping in on that one.
Yep.
It's interesting where we're at right now because a gentleman actually helped his dog to become well again recently. I know you've probably heard that story as well because you're right up to speed on the news. And that's particularly interesting, creating a personalized vaccine, which is based upon the DNA or the actual race or the locality of that individual. That's particularly interesting for me. The COVID conversation is another one because, you know, there were side effects. I don't want to dig into that. It's not something we're going to debate I'm not even going to go over it, right? However, I do agree with you. I think it's very exciting. I think when you can run tests on your smartphone that you needed to go to the doctor for, it can alert you of certain problems, I think that's quite amazing. I need certain fuels and I'm not sure that having a high protein, low, you know, no carb diet is what I personally need. But I'm looking into that. And I think AI models and language models help with the research into looking into these things.
Of course.
So that's exciting.
But then for optimization of this in terms of your health, it's not only large language models. It's definitely also, you know, the machine learning, the deep learning that are going to ensure that, well, for example, in oncology, you can see a tumor much earlier on than anybody else or than any other system. You can even predict because based on your history, your great grandparents, your grandparents, your parents, your kids, all this information cannot fit, if I can say, into a doctor's mind because there's too much. And that's where you need AI. So that's why, you know, so we talked about finance, we talked about defense, we talked about healthcare, you talk about construction. You need AI everywhere now. You don't have any more architects with just a pen and a ruler that are going to build a building or anything. Everything is based on AI and especially in seismic areas. Like, you know, I used to live for a long time in San Francisco. In San Francisco, you have earthquakes all the time. And so you need to basically predict that. So again, you know, you need to predict for the worst. So at least you build for the worst. And, you know, when it happens, at least your building is going to be adequate for the situation. So it's pretty much everywhere, but even at a local level, small towns, you can use AI everywhere. You can use AI to better prepare yourself for communicating. You're in a parliament, you're debating a law, you're debating something that the city wants to see or whatever. You can better prepare yourself. You can ask AI, say, okay, today we need to vote on this construction. Please tell me what you see positive. Please tell me what you see negative. And on the negative side, please tell me how you would address it. So when you arrive in your parliament and you have people criticizing you for what you decide or what you want to put in place, you already have the argument. And that's LLMs, definitely. And that's creating content, and that's based on LLM. But so anywhere, basically, you know, and for example, when a budget needs to be debated in a parliament, right? You can enter the whole budget into your LLM system, whatever, Claude or ChatGPT or Gemini, whatever. And you can tell AI, say, well, tell me where you would attack this. Or if it's your budget that you're defending, you can say, where are my weak points? You know, I used to have a boss, at Sony, and he was absolutely amazing. Each time we would present to him a plan, he would always go to the weak point. That was his strength. The guy was just superb. You know, I could have worked for weeks on my budget. There was always one weak point, and he would always find it. Well, that's now that boss is AI. And right. So if I had AI at the time, I would have prepared myself for that weak point, and it wouldn't have been a weak point anymore. That's exactly what I'm trying to say here. Your government is using AI everywhere. Another example is, at least in France, I've heard that now they're using AI to see where the swimming pools are. Because in France, when you have a swimming pool, you have to pay different type of taxes. And a lot of people have decided not to declare the swimming pools for convenience, obviously. And so now they can use, obviously, the drones with recognition. And so then you don't fraud anymore on this spot. So anywhere, basically, I've been saying that for 30 years, but AI can be used in every industry, every type of activity. And in government, I think it's probably one of the last activity that's being transformed by AI, but it's one that we see more and more today. But that's where the trend is definitely growing.
It's fascinating. I mean, looking at the way these things work and how you can pull up a Gemini on your phone, you can have a video conversation and show Gemini something that you want advice on, and it will discuss with you the color of your wallpaper. I mean, you can do so many things that actually governments would be absolutely insane to not use this to optimize the budgets, to reduce costs, improve services. And I'm actually quite excited about it. I think that there are Luddites, there are people that are going to hold back the progress, but certainly you're not one of them, Nicholas. And I'm looking forward to seeing your town at some point. I'm going to drive over there. It may not be this year, but you know, in the next couple of years, I'm definitely going to drive over there, because I want to see what you've done to the town as far as AI is concerned. I've heard it's beautiful. And we do this, we've been doing this for a long, long time, but now it's way easier. It's way smoother. We only need 30 minutes. It's perfect. So peace out. And thank you, Nicholas. It's always, always.
Thanks very much for listening to Influential Visions. Please make sure you share this episode with your friends and business connections. And don't forget to drop us a review wherever you listen. Thanks.